produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good morning, family. It's Pearl Coupe again, and we are having our weekly program once again. And I'm so blessed to be sharing the Word of God, which, you know, repositions us, which aligns us for kingdom mandate and kingdom purpose. And today, I felt led to share with you about positioning and repositioning. Many times in our lives, we will find that we've been walking a journey, and God will come into our lives to reposition us. Sometimes we're slightly out of alignment, or we're not completely 100% aligned to our full kingdom mandate. And I want to talk today about being positioned for a mandate, a new mandate. When God comes into our lives in a season to reposition us for a new mandate, for a new season of our lives. And today I'm going to be talking in particular about two people. We're going to go into a case study and look at two people's lives who were repositioned quite radically. You know, sometimes we're repositioned or positioned just gently in terms of process. And then sometimes there can become a shift, such a great shift in a season that greatly repositions us for the full mandate of what God wants us to do in our lives. And so I'm going to be talking about two people. I'm going to be talking about Mary, the Virgin Mary. And I'm going to be talking also about Isaac, two people who were repositioned for kingdom mandate. So starting first of all with Mary, let's go into the account of Mary, where we find that in Luke 1. And we're going to start reading specifically from Luke 1, 26 to find out what happened to Mary and how was this simple virgin girl, age 16, how was she radically shifted and repositioned to fulfill kingdom purpose, which actually left a huge legacy behind that all of us have benefited from. So let's read from Luke 1, verse 26. And the Word of God says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Praise the Lord." So reading this scripture, like I said, we find here's a simple young girl. The scholarly accounts have her age at the age of 16. She was young. She was a virgin. She was engaged, betrothed to a man by the name of Joseph. Simple young lady, but very radically, within a moment, her destiny was changed from living an ordinary life of an engaged young girl, to that of now becoming an extraordinary life. And that is the case for each and every one of us. The minute we connect to Yeshua and have a relationship with Yeshua, that is the beginning of an ordinary life being transformed into an extraordinary life. Your life will never be the same once you have connected to Yeshua in relationship, once you are in an intimate relationship with him, once you you hear him, you obey him, you imitate him, all of those. Your life is immediately, radically, supernaturally transformed. I will never forget my own radical transformation as a young girl, a very young girl in my early 20s, 1983, that's 37 years ago. You know, I was still a law student in my early 20s. Radical change, radically changed from being a young girl who loved to go to parties. I loved to be popular amongst people. I loved to trend in fashion and, you know, trend in dances, all of that. I was the little celebrity amongst my peers. And loved all of that. And then one day coming home from a party, a night of drinking and partying and dancing, I radically met Yeshua, radically met Jesus. And he came to me in a dream and spoke to me in the middle of my sleep and just began to speak to me and tell me how he needed to be in relationship with me. And if I didn't give my life to him, that the enemy was going to be sure to kill me. Because of what God wanted to do in my life and through my life. So there was a radical transformation from ordinary life to extraordinary life. That's what happens to us. And this is what happened to Mary. She was being repositioned for a new mandate. The minute you enter into a relationship with God, it's not just so that you can sing hymns for the rest of your life and then wait to be, you know, for your journey to end and your race to end. We are being radically transformed and repositioned so that before we leave this earth, we can take on a new mandate. Mary was given a new mandate. And for her new destiny to be accomplished, she now needed to be repositioned. And I want to talk to us about a few things. It required a new environment. A new environment had to take place for her to be repositioned. She had to be separated from Joseph for a season. And I want to ask you right now, what are those things? You know, when God gives us such heavy mandates that contain kingdom purpose in it, it may require that you be separated from certain things and from certain people. I know after I was saved, I could not just be going around with the same group of people that I went around. These were people who would always want to take me to parties, who would always want me to be drinking. And so I had to separate myself from them, because I knew that if I moved with them, I would be lured and drawn back into that party life, into that life of drinking. So I want you to pause for a moment and think, are there any things that you need to separate yourself from? Are there things that you've been watching on television, whether some type of programs that are not edifying, that do not focus you on Yeshua? Are there things that you need to separate yourself from so that you can be aligned and repositioned for your new mandate? Are there even people that you may need to separate yourself from so you can be properly positioned for the new mandate, so you can think on what is pure, what is honest, what is lovely, what is of good report? Are there things that are interfering with your ability to think on those things? So as we are talking and preparing ourselves to be repositioned, remember that a new environment is required. And Mary had to separate herself from Joseph for a season. Some separation may just be for a season, so that there's not defilement in you. There was a seed that was being brought into Mary that could not be interfered with, that could not be hindered. Sometimes God will separate us for a season. Even in this lockdown, maybe some of us are being separated for a season to enable God to prepare us for when we come out, for a season of quiet time, a season of being with him, a season of being in the word, a season of being prayerful and having time to worship him more, so that we can be prepared to run with the kingdom mandate when we emerge from lockdown period. So that separation can be for a season. Sometimes the separation, God may just say, I do not want you to move with these people anymore. It could be a separation that is a longer term or even permanent separation. So pray and say, Lord, as you are positioning me for my new levels and new mandate, what is it that you require me to be separated from? And if there are any people who you know that in terms of connecting with them, God said to Solomon, do not marry foreign women because they will take your heart away from me. Sometimes God will separate us from some people because there's an unequal yoking, because there's a difference in values. And God knows that when you spend time with them, the Bible says, he that walks with the wise shall be wise. He that is the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So God knows if you spend a lot of time continuously in that company, because bad company corrupts one's character, God knows that they may end up drawing your heart away from him. And so sometimes we may need to separate, pause, take a Selah moment, pause, meditate, and ask God, are there things, are there people that you would want me to separate from, either for a season or for quite some time or even permanently? And the separation, because this is what the Lord said, when Mary now asked and queried, how shall this be? How will it happen? The response was that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And many times there are things which are interfering with our ability to connect to God in a more intimate fashion, interfering with because remember that light and darkness have no fellowship with one another. So sometimes the separation is to allow greater levels of intimacy with you and God, so that Holy Spirit may overshadow you. So that's my prayer for you right now, is that as God is repositioning us, each and every one of us, for new mandates, to take on new mantles and new purposes and new kingdom assignments, may God show you what you need to separate, what you need to be separated from, whether it's for a season or whether for its longer period. May God show you whatever people you may need to be separated from, and whatever things and activities perhaps you may need to be separated from. So during this time, when God is speaking to us and wanting to reposition to us, be very alert, be very receptive, be open to hear what God is saying. And our speech, when God wants to reposition us, Mary didn't speak too much. She asked two questions. One question was, how shall it be? And the response was, Holy Spirit will come upon you. And her next answer, which should be our answer, was, let it be unto me according to thy word. So when God wants to reposition you, yes, you know, you can ask one or two questions, how shall it be? But don't get into a place where you become argumentative or debating. You know, I am an attorney by profession, and we love to debate as attorneys. But early on in my born again life, I learned not to debate a lot, you know, not to try and debate and argue with God, but just to ask one or two questions, how shall it be? And as he begins to direct me, then my next conversation with God should be, you know, let it be unto me according to your word. In other words, if we decode that, that simply means, thy will be done. Thy will be done in my life. And that should be the prayer of our heart. And that should be the condition of our heart, a submissive heart that always says, thy will be done in my life. Let it be done unto me according to thy word, according to thy will, O God. That should be the position that we relate to God in, always in submission, knowing that his will is best for our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. The sooner we can line up with his will, and the sooner we can line up with his word, the better it will be for us, and the greater it will be for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the second person I want to talk to us, because we've already reached halftime, I said we wanted to talk about two people, and it was going to be Mary. And the second person I want to talk about, who is also repositioned, that we can get lessons learned. In fact, if you study every Bible character, you will find out that every Bible character was repositioned at one point. You look at Esther. Esther was repositioned from being an orphan girl and moved into the palace. You look at the story of Joseph. Many, many repositionings in his life. He was repositioned from his home, where he had to move out of his home and move to a foreign land, into Egypt. But God wasn't moving him there to be punished. God was moving him into a powerful position of leadership, repositioned from his land of birth into a place of governmental positioning and leadership. So whoever you look at, Esther, anybody you look at, there was a time of repositioning. And we need to expect this, not even just once. You won't be positioned once. We will be repositioned many times over, because in our lives, there are many, many seasons where God wants us to take on new mandates, new assignments. And so there will always be times of repositioning, and we must always be very careful to listen intently and to hear God when he says he's repositioning us, so we can be pliant and flexible and allow ourselves to be repositioned to where God wants us to be. Praise the Lord. May that be your portion, that you will be ready to be repositioned when God says it's time to move, and your response to him will not be an argumentative one or one of debating, but it will be like Mary said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." So Isaac was also repositioned. And if we read the account, which is in Genesis 26, we read a whole account where Isaac was now, you know, in the same fashion as his father. He's somebody who was wealthy. He became wealthy even during a time of famine. You read that whole account. And I want you to be prayerful. Let that be your prayer point. In this time of lockdown, it's a time of famine. The financial experts have talked about recession, an economic recession, which is an economic famine. But Isaac was able to prosper during a time of famine. Let that be your portion. That has been my prayer. That's what I've been praying. And God has been faithful. You know, even though I've not earned any income or anything, God has been faithful and to be sending ravens to feed me. And we've not run out of food. We've not run out of money to pay our bills. We've just seen supernatural intervention because I've prayed that prayer to say, Lord, Father, I thank you that even in this time of recession, Lord, let me still be able to prosper and to see your goodness, the goodness of the Lord, even during a time of famine. Pray that will be your portion, that even in a time that is being called by the world as a time of economic famine, ask God that, Father, I will not experience famine, but let me be like Isaac and let me experience a time of plenty and a time of prosperity, even during a time of famine. And so this is the account where Isaac was digging wells. We know the account very well. Go and read the whole of Genesis 26 and you'll see that Isaac was digging wells. And each time he was being repositioned, there's a time where he was repositioned. I'm going to read from Genesis 17. We're in Genesis 26, remember? So Genesis 26, and I'm reading from verses 17 up to the end of verse 22. So from 17 to 22, and let's look at some aspects where Isaac was being repositioned and how he responded to the repositioning, because we can learn some lessons from this account as well. So from verse 17, Genesis 26, 17, it says, "Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." Verse 19. "Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there." Verse 20. "But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see a scenario where Isaac had moved. He had pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. He dwelt there and he was digging the wells of water. And it says, very interesting to me right there, that it says that he was digging the wells of the water and he was digging them in the days of Abraham, his father. And now there's something very important that scripture tells us there. It says he called the wells by the same names that his father had called them, So the first thing I want to say to you is that sometimes we are, it is a struggle for us to be repositioned. God wants to reposition us. God wants to position us for a mandate, new kingdom assignments. But we are busy digging wells, in the same manner as our father. So we dig wells traditionally in the same way. We're not hearing God in terms of how are we supposed to dig those wells. God has a specific mandate. God has a specific assignment for you. But we're too busy trying to emulate our mother, our father. This is the way my mother did it. This is the way my father did it. So busy trying to emulate them and following tradition, the tradition of man. So one of the things I want to just warn you about is don't allow the traditions of men to stop you from hearing God around where he wants to position you. Yes, God may have dealt with your mother in a specific way. Yes, God may have shown your father how to deal with something and how to do something in a certain way. And yes, God places our father, our mothers, people, our mentors in our lives so that we can, you know, learn from them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to do everything in the same way that they did. We do not necessarily have the same assignment. We learn from them without becoming photocopies of them. And so be careful of becoming a photocopy after tradition, but be open to hearing, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? My gifts may be completely different from the gifts that God gave my mother or my father. And make sure that the gifts that God gave you are utilized for the specific assignment that God has given you. Trying to name wells in the same way that his father had named them got Isaac stuck. So there was quarrels. You know, he called the wells Sitna and Esek. And if you study the meaning of those words, one of the words means enmity, and one means contention. So he was naming wells by the names that the father had called them, and they were bringing contention, and they were bringing enmity and hostility, because names are prophetic also. So it wasn't until God moved him and repositioned, and he moved from there, and now he moved into a place of Rehoboth. And the word Rehoboth, if you study that, means room, more room, extra space. And so we sometimes need to move away from tradition. Some of the tradition may not necessarily be tradition, that relates to your mom and dad, but some cultural traditions. Do you know that, you know, some of our so-called tribal traditions that we do and follow, and we don't even know why we follow these tribal traditions. Maybe you're Yoruba, maybe you're Igbo. Maybe if you're from Zimbabwe, you could be Shona, or you could be Ndebele, or, you know, in South Africa, there are 11 tribes here, Swati, Tswana, Sotho, Pedi, Tsonga, Venda, all of those. You could be one of those tribes, and you're following that tradition instead of following the kingdom tradition. So don't allow following of man's tradition and earthly culture and worldly culture to hinder you from being repositioned by God into your kingdom assignment. It's very important to hear God's voice. It's very important to be alert to hearing where God wants to take you. It's very important to obeying where God wants to take you and saying, like Mary said, let it be unto me according to thy word, according to your will. So let's be open to be repositioned, and let's not let man's cultures, the traditions of man and the worldly traditions. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may perform the good and acceptable will of God. So when you conform to worldly traditions, you now become hindered from performing the acceptable will of God. Praise the Lord. So may God move us to that place of Rehoboth, that we can be repositioned. It's time to do things differently. Don't allow any worldly things to now hinder you from moving to your place of Rehoboth. And Rehoboth is a place of more room. And let me say this to you. When God repositions you, he will create room. And one of the ways he creates room is he's already put gifts in you. And it's those gifts that make room. The Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men, not mean men, but before great men. So God is already deposited gifts in you, wired gifts and grace in you. And it is that gift that creates room for you and brings you to a place of more room, which is Rehoboth, meaning more room. More room. So tradition, some earthly traditions and worldly traditions may shut down that gift, may not allow that gift to operate in your life. So I'm going to close in prayer. And my prayer for you is that as God is repositioning every one of us, every season, there are seasons for reposition. My prayer is that may you be open to being repositioned. May you be open to be repositioned in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that you will not allow the tradition of man. You will not allow anything to hinder your repositioning. And my prayer for you is that you will be open to hearing what God says. Don't allow your thoughts to be clouded by the voices of men. You know, some things that the Bible says, there's a way that may seem right unto a man, but its way, that's in Proverbs, its way leads unto death. Don't be clouded by what looks. There's some things that look to be right, but in actual fact, they're taking you away from your place of Rehoboth. They're taking you away from your place of assignment. And if you read that whole account in Genesis 26, it was such a place of enlargement and more room. The Bible actually tells us, if you read from verse 26 to 30, it says that Isaac was so well positioned that, you know, even his previous enemies who'd been trying to disturb him, to fill the wells with dirt and to block him, they were not able to do that when he moved into his place of Rehoboth. In fact, his enemies, the same enemies who were trying to block him, were the ones who now came to covenant with him and say, hey, we see the favor of God. There's a favor of God upon you in your life. And we want a part of this. We want to connect with you. We want to enter into covenant with you because we know that this place where God has placed you in Rehoboth is a place of position. It's a place of favor. The favor of God is all over you. And so may God bring us into a place of Rehoboth. May you not allow worldly traditions. May you not allow the voices of man to disconnect you from your Rehoboth. May you hear God clearly in the same way that Mary was able to hear the angel and hear God's mandate for her. May you hear God clearly in terms of what God is saying for your life. And may you respond to God's word with obedience and say, let it be unto me according to your word, that you will be positioned for kingdom mandate. You will be positioned for kingdom purpose. You will be positioned for kingdom agenda in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That is my prayer for you as we go on. Be open to hearing God's voice. Be open to being repositioned. Don't be quarrelsome. Don't be argumentative. Don't debate, but just say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me to wherever you want me to go. It may not be the place of popularity. It may not be a place where we're getting accolades, but let it be a place of obedience where you are fulfilling the full mandate of the kingdom of God. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I thank God for you. And may God just cause you to reflect and meditate on this word and be open to fulfilling his mandate in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. God bless you. Lots of love.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
The power of an altar. I want to share with you SKM, Shimikotu Ministries International. This is Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia, and working through some powerful concept that can help us and build us in this day and age as we walk with God. First and foremost, I want us to understand what God is doing in our lives. The world has been under lockdown in various countries, and this pandemic has affected a lot of people in different ways. But one thing that we can thank God for, we thank Him for His goodness, we thank Him for His faithfulness, we thank Him for what He has done in our lives. To those that have lost their loved ones, and to those whose loved ones are still struggling because of this virus, we continue to appreciate the hand of God in our lives, His faithfulness in every situation. We thank Him for keeping us alive, but we also thank Him despite what has happened, especially to those that have lost their loved ones and their parents. The power of an altar. Altars in the Bible were elevated places that were used primarily to sacrifice, and the few key elements that would be required depending with the strength of that altar, kings, priests in the olden days, they strengthened their prowess and they showed forth how powerful they were because of the altars. You find through the scriptures the very first pair, Abel and Cain, constructed an altar before God. And in the construction of this altar, they offered the sacrifices to God. We now understand in our reading that Cain's offering was not acceptable, and Abel's offerings were acceptable before God. You go through the scriptures, Noah built an altar before God. Also find out different characters in the Bible, whether it was Joshua, it was Gideon. The one particular that we all know is the story of Elijah. Elijah constructed an altar. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 22. You go down with it. He calls for a showdown to prove whose God was powerful. He challenges the people of the time that were worshiping Baal and the prophets of Baal, proving them and asking them to come to a place of sacrifice, as that was something very important over their lives. Israel and all the prophets of Baal gathered together on Mount Carmel. Elijah gave them an opportunity for them to cry to their God. They cried all day. From morning to noon, Elijah begins to mock them because their God is not at all answering. Something to note for you and I as God's people. No matter how long it may take, no matter how difficult your situation may be, it's always good to remember we serve a mighty, powerful God. He vindicates for his own to those who trust him, to those who walk with him. He is faithful and he is a powerful God. Let's continue, therefore, and see what's the plan in Elijah. Now, important it is for you and I to understand the importance of altars, building an altar. First thing, in verse 30 of the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, when he takes over, he rebuilds. The altar. He actually repairs the altar that was there, and he then goes on to build by putting wood on top of it and then pouring in the trenches gallons and gallons of water, after which he then cries to his God. The part that I love there is that in him crying to his God, it doesn't have to take all that. He doesn't have to cry all that. He doesn't have to cut himself with stones. We serve a God who answers by fire. We serve a God who is faithful at all times. We serve a God who works wonders and miracles in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, let's see what God wants to do in our lives. Elijah, touches me. He teaches me principle number one, the importance of repairing what's broken. What's broken in your life as a child of God? How is your prayer life? Where is your faith level? What's your commitment to God things like? Where is your fellowship quotient as far as walking with God is concerned? What's broken that needs to be repaired in your life? Elijah teaches me a powerful principle. Repairing what the enemy has destroyed. Always the first thing to do if you're going to see the hand of God in whatever you are doing. Repairing what the enemy has stolen is what the devil tries to do in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, let us understand, therefore, that in our journey as we walk with God, God's desire about our lives, you can't build on top of junk. You can build on top of dirt. You can build on top of debris. Clear out. Repair the altar. Oh, Jesus. Lord, that's my prayer. It's my prayer for our loved ones listening to us. It's my prayer for those who are listening to me right now, wherever you are, whatever you are doing. Your heart needs repairing. Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us, offering our bodies as living sacrifice before God. Because there is that which is good, there is that which is acceptable, there is that which is perfect, which is of the perfect will of God. Repair what's broken. If it's fellowship, repair what's broken. Your faith level, repair what's broken. Whatever it is in your life that requires attention, repair it. Repair it. It is also imperative that we recognize after the repairing of the altar, the Bible says he built it up. It's not enough just to fix it and you leave it. You fix it and then you build for use. You build for prayer. You build to exercise your faith. You build to go to the fellowship. Whatever was repaired, you repair and build on top of what needs to be built up. Three, I learn from Elijah the importance of calling on the God that you believe. He repaired it. He built it. The devil's desire is always to make you think your God is not alive. But hear me and hear me well, my dear listeners. It's important for you to understand we serve a God who hears. That is a song we used to sing. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a wonder. We serve a miracle. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a wonder. We serve a miracle. We serve a miracle working God. Our God doesn't sleep nor slumber. Our God is alive. Our God is powerful. As we walk with God on this journey of faith, it is also imperative, ladies and gentlemen, that we understand that the altar is one of the strongest strongholds. It's a place of divine exchange. It's where your marriage is destroyed. It's where your family is attacked. Altar. Yep. Slaughtering of oxen, of bulls, of goats, of chicken, of even human sacrifices. They are not after their flesh per se. They are after the blood that is shedding there. Because where there is an altar, there is a throne. Where there is a throne, there is a priest. Where there is a priest, there is a sacrifice. Where there is a sacrifice, it's the shedding of the blood. Every altar is strengthened by the blood that is shed there. My brothers and sisters, as we continue to serve Him, let us remember our God is awesome. He desires nothing but you and I coming before Him. And asking for Him to intervene on our behalf. Question is, have you repaired your altar? Have you built up what needs to be built up in your life? Have you done the necessary work that desires, that needs to be done over your life? The devil's desire is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You and I, when we strengthen what God has given us and we build on the altar, firstly, identify what that altar is. Cry unto God for Him to show you what needs to be repaired and built. Call on the name of the Lord God Almighty. Oh my God. The God who answers by fire is the God who revealed Himself. Is the God who intervenes. So as we declare right now in our journey as we walk with God, let us see and let us remember how awesome is our God in these days. The good thing about your altar, you don't have to rebuild one. You don't have to find your own priest. You don't have to bring a sacrifice. You are the sacrifice. That God has. You are the sacrifice that God has. But watch this. You are not just the sacrifice that God has, because Jesus has become the sacrifice for you and me. When He sacrificed His blood, He sacrificed everything for you and I so that we can live. So may God begin to reveal in this time so that you can understand the power of the sacrifice has been provided for you. The power of the altar has been provided. The blood of the sacrifice has been provided. And guess what? The blood of bulls and goats and oxen is temporary. But the blood that was shed for you and I, that blood is still alive. That blood is still fresh. The song says, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power that gave me strength from day to day. It will never His power. Ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. The blood of Jesus Christ will not lose his power. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you and I. We continue to walk with him. We continue to see his goodness and his hand of our lives. May God continue to direct your path as you continue to see his faithfulness even over your life. He has promised to be with you all the days of your life. Hang in there. May God bless you. Continue to grow in him and see his goodness fulfilled in your life, even as you walk with him. He is a faithful God, and surely what he has begun in your life, he will complete it in Jesus' name. God bless you. SKM, Shimikot Ministries, Radio Network, with our co-producer, Kela Paget. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing you the power for your destiny, empowering you for life. In Jesus' name, amen.